Welcome to Sister Share, where six sisters living around the world come together each week to talk about motherhood, health, cooking, parenting, and so much more. Thanks for joining us today.
Welcome to Sister Share this week. We're glad that we can all be together. We're missing Katie, but we're glad that the rest of us are here. It's been a few weeks, and I know all of us are looking forward to this time together. Today, we have chosen the topic of healthy habits for children, how to teach children healthy eating in particular, especially when it's easy to tend towards sweets. They taste so good, and children can turn into picky eaters. We're just going to brainstorm some ideas, share questions, concerns about how we can help our children to eat healthy. And today we have joining us.
Hi, I'm Lorraine from Rexburg.
This is Nettie calling in from Okinawa.
This is Mamie in Cache Valley.
This is Becca in Manti.
This is Heidi from Orem.
All right, so let's get started. Ideas for helping children eat healthy. One of the things that I like to do is play my cards. So if my children are hungry, that's a good time to feed them healthy foods because it's harder for them to be picky. So one of those times is right before dinner. Kids will come home from school, they're outside playing, they get hungry, and I don't quite have dinner on. My kids love to eat frozen peas, frozen corn, fresh peppers that I'm cutting up for dinner, or carrots, anything that I'm using for my meal. I don't mind if they're eating vegetables right before dinner because I know it's healthy for them, as opposed to handing them a piece of bread that's going to fill them up and then they won't eat their meal when it's time to eat. So that's one of the tricks that I use as a mother to help my kids eat healthy.
Wow, May. I would say one of my tricks is just not to buy junk food in the store. If I don't have it in the house, then we're less likely to eat it. Once I buy it and it's in the pantry, then it's always a good time to have a treat. So I just try not to buy it in the first place.
That's great, Hyde. And probably that means that you have a shopping list when you go. Is that true? You make up a shopping list, you stick to it.
No. I just have willpower in the grocery store when I see the ice creams on sale, and I can think of so many things that we could use it for, but I know as soon as it's in the freezer, we're not going to use it for those things. We're just going to eat it anyways for other things. So I just try not to buy it.
One healthy snack that we really like is popcorn. I remember growing up, it was mostly an evening thing, you know, a fun treat at night or for a movie or something, which I think is terrific too. But, I have popcorn lovers in my family, and it's really fun. Just, I don't know, maybe once a week or once every couple weeks, we'll just pop popcorn after school, and everybody, you know, we just put a blanket on the floor and everybody gathers around the popcorn, and it's just fun, and it's an easy thing to make, and it's not a bunch of treats, and anyway, it's together time. That's what you want too, is to be together. So anyway, there's an idea from what we do.
I love that idea, Becca. And another time that we use popcorn is when I make soup. Whenever I have soup for dinner, then I think of a bread to go with it, and I put popcorn on my list of breads. So I either make scones or bread or biscuits or cornbread, but popcorn's an easy one. If I don't have time to make one of those things, I'll just pop up a couple batches of popcorn, serve it with the soup, and then it's a complete meal, and it's good for you.
I'll jump on the healthy snacks bandwagon. I just think that's a great idea, and I like, Heidi, that you don't even buy them. We don't either. We never have. They're incredibly expensive. They have tons of packaging. The garbage can fills right up, so we have never bought them. But an apple, a banana, baby carrots, homemade dried fruit, those are easy, healthy snacks. And they travel just as easily as a cheese stick or as fruit snacks or whatever else that you have out there. Cheese crackers, I don't know what all the snacks are, but we never bought those because apples are better. fruit's better, dried fruit. There are just a lot of better alternatives.
What do you do if you have a spouse that buys them or wants you to buy them the packaged snacks and processed foods?
Maybe none of us do, then.
No, I think this one. Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, we weren't raised with them, right? Our family, growing up, we didn't buy processed foods, packaged foods. And I think that's not really in our family culture, but a lot of families, those packaged snacks are how they survive. So this has been a challenge for me and my relationship. I don't buy them. I feel frustrated when my spouse does buy them. I feel like it's a lot of money. It's very unhealthy. But of course, everybody loves them. So any ideas?
Well, I can share what I've done. I just use them for special occasions. So it's in our pantry. When it's already bought, then I just think of a time that will be handy to grab those and go, like at a soccer game or a road trip, then I can pull from those. Another place I like to use them is in lunches. When I send lunches with my kids, it gives us an incentive for getting ready on time in the morning, because it's a special treat for them. So anyone that's ready on time can grab something out of that snack bucket to take with them. But probably better, like Larray said, to just use healthy foods that are better for you and travel just as easily. But if you do have it, and that's a battle that you are not ready to fight, then there are times that you can use them. Just make sure it's not all the time, right?
I really think family culture has a lot to do with it. Just living in Japan has made me so aware of how healthy people in the world do live. The Japanese people we live around are so healthy, and you can see it, that they're not overweight. When my kids went to Japanese school, the lunches they ate were just amazing, all homemade, not packaged, and the entire culture is focused on health and even, you know, eating less, getting by with less. And whenever I go back to the States, I'm reminded that the mindset in the States is kind of like more is more and a lot of processed foods. But I think that the culture of healthy snacks starts in our homes. I do have a fairly healthy family, even though, you know, sometimes we have more processed foods in our kitchen than I want. But I look back on our childhood and I think that the whole culture of healthy snacks, like I said, starts at home, and the mothers can influence that. If the kids come home and the options are a piece of fruit or some vegetables for a snack to hold you over till dinner, then that's great. And hopefully kids will learn as they grow up the difference in the taste of a whole food as opposed to a processed food. And so that when they do taste those processed foods, then hopefully they're not as appealing to them. I remember we grew up with homemade syrup on our pancakes, which isn't difficult to make, just some sugar and water. But going over to my friends' homes, they had the store-bought syrup. And I remember the first time I tasted that store-bought pancake syrup, it tasted so awful to me, so sugary, that I couldn't even eat it. So that's just one example. But hopefully when we have a healthy habit in our home of good snacks, then the kids will grow up tasting that really good food and be able to tell the difference from the processed foods.
I also like growing up that the healthy food was available. Mom always had the bowls of bananas or apples on the counter. And so that's what we knew was available. And I think that's important, is just to have that stuff out so that they can access it.
Another thought I had is that when kids eat also creates healthy versus unhealthy habits. Some kids snack all day long, and so when it comes to a mealtime, they don't have an appetite for a good, healthy meal. So one thing that we grew up doing, and one thing we do in our home here, is to have three real mealtimes during the day. So we eat breakfast, and in order to have breakfast, everyone needs to be dressed and ready for the day. So they have something they need to do to earn their breakfast. And then We don't eat until lunchtime. I send a good lunch with them for school and then after school. We don't have a big snack. Like Becca said, we'll have popcorn or carrots or an apple, something healthy. And then they're hungry when it comes time for dinner, which is about 5 or 6 o'clock, depending on when everyone gets home. But having kids go without food for certain parts of the day, I think is also healthy because then they have the good appetite.
I totally agree with that, Mamie. And some future discussions, I know Larae has a lot of input on mealtime. She's done some research and written some things about that. But I remember once when Larae did a fireside and I listened to her and she said, we have to remember that hunger is not a bad feeling. In our society, we rarely feel it anymore. And I remember being hungry as a child, coming home from school and eating my snack and feeling hungry. And Mama would say, you know, 20 minutes till dinner. That's okay. A child can run, play, or grab a glass of water and last 20 more minutes or whatever, as opposed to saying, oh, you're hungry, quick, eat a snack, kind of like hunger's a bad thing. It's good to have those three set meals and not be constantly eating between. We've forgotten that in our society.
I agree, and I think it's a cultural norm in our society to be grazers, that there has to be a snack after school, that we might have to have a snack at mid-morning. At school, they even serve these, and it's unusual. And they're open kitchens. We did not grow up with the ability to walk into the fridge and pull out what we wanted or the cupboard. I think we've done a disservice to our kids because they're not learning the self-restraint necessary to, and the self-control to be healthy. It's a skill, really. And I think we start that even very, very young. If you walk in the grocery store, there are puffs for babies that can barely eat and all this baby food and all these things. You can get baby food that has turkey and mashed potatoes in it. What six-month-old needs that? You know, my kids, you can also eat oatmeal mixed with applesauce or something. There are much healthier ways and much, much cheaper ways to raise children with health and we're not doing them a disservice because we don't do all the fads. But it sure looks fun to walk in a grocery store when you have a new baby and think, oh, now I get to buy puffs, or now I get to buy rice cereal, or now I get to buy jars of baby food. They're incredibly expensive when we could mash up a banana or hand them some sugar-free applesauce and some instant oats. I mean, it's just, it is a cultural thing, I guess is what I'm saying. And we have to be aware of that and be in control of maybe our wants and focus on what our kids really need. What do their bodies need?
I'm just going to piggyback on that again, Larae. Yesterday we were with some Japanese students and went to a little, you know, museum where they made Japanese treats. So at the end, we all chose, you know, just a tiny packaged treat to eat. And we got out to the car and my kids were like, can we eat it right now? And I said, oh, let's just wait. You know, we'll all be home in 10 minutes. Then we could sit down and eat the treat and enjoy it. And I said to the Japanese guests, well, do you want to eat it right now or do you want to go home? And they said, oh, no, we can wait until we get home. And to me, that just epitomizes their whole society, like this ability to restrain yourself and wait a minute is something that we've almost lost because people think the minute they feel hungry, they've got to shove something in their mouth. So it's really a skill, and it teaches you self-control, not just with eating, but with a lot of other ways. And eating is just the first time, or the one of the ways we can teach that self-restraint.
I love these ideas. I also wanted to go back to the open pantry that Larae brought up. One of the things, because I've thought about it, there are different homes that I've been in where there's an open pantry feel. We didn't grow up in a home like that. We didn't feel like we could walk in and eat anything, but we were there when there was a meal served. So I thought about the difference. And one of the principles that I feel is included in this is respect and not feeling entitlement. Like if you feel like you can walk into a pantry where you didn't buy that food and just eat it as a child, I feel that can cause some disrespect. But if you respect your parents and know that they worked hard for that money and they put the food in the pantry and they have a plan for it, then it teaches them that it's not theirs. They're not entitled to it, but they can be there when it's provided and when it's offered to them. I just feel like that's so powerful to teach children.
I agree, Mame. We have had babysitters who have felt like our house was an open pantry, which it has not been for our children. And that it's a little disturbing to come home to that and realize that our dinner for the next night or our kids' lunches for the next day has been eaten by a babysitter after the kids were in bed. And I'm very sure that their parents didn't intend that, the parents of the babysitter, but they just had not been trained that way, that it was because in their home it probably was, and they didn't realize that that's not how everybody lives. I also feel like dinner times or meal times together as a family teach other principles that are important that we want our kids to learn. So I love the fact that you connected respect with the food in the kitchen. I think sitting down as a family also teaches kids portion control. It teaches them to see how many people are sitting at the table and how much of the whatever's in the bowl they can serve up and leave enough for other people. When kids are fending for themselves, and a lot of them do, they don't ever see that perspective. It teaches them manners. It teaches them expectations for their food and also for conversing and associating with other people. There are just so many things you can learn at a dinner table that equate to life that you just translate to everyday living.
As far as healthy snacks, I think we've talked about like fresh fruits and vegetables. Those are easy. When you consider the cost, they're definitely cost effective compared to the packaged snacks. But another snack we've really liked since moving to Japan is the packaged seaweed. And I think you can get that in the States now. That's a really healthy snack that a lot of Japanese kids love, and my kids love it. You just get those packages of seaweed and pull out your little sheet of green seaweed, and it's really yummy, that little salty flavor. It's as good as a bag of chips, but it's a lot healthier. Or there's little dried fishes here you can eat that are a fun Japanese snack. I'm not sure those are quite as available in the States, but I think our society as a whole is going towards healthy snacks in a lot of ways. So they're on the shelves besides the fruits and vegetables as well, and moms can look at them and find them and use those too.
Hey, I'm going to jump in with a few more healthy snacks. We love, Leray mentioned dried fruit, and one of our favorite dried fruits is dried bananas, which are so easy to make if you have a dehydrator. Just go to the store, get them discounted, and slice them up and put them in your dehydrator. They taste completely different than the dried bananas you can buy at the store, and they're so good. They're my kids' favorite. We also love pulling out peanut butter when we have apples. Slice up apples and put some peanut butter on it, or eat apples with cheese. Those are yummy. We love to have cottage cheese with canned pears or canned peaches. That's also a yummy treat. And talking about treats, I think when we think about treats after mealtime, it can be easy to get into the culture of, oh, every dinner needs to have a dessert. That's not necessarily needed. You don't need to have a dessert after every meal. And when you do have a dessert, you can throw in something yummy that's also healthy, like the cottage cheese and peaches, or just a piece of fruit or something like that.
That just made me think, we love frozen bananas, and that's totally blown me away. The kids will just freeze bananas, and it's like a popsicle, and they just, you know, thinking we're heading into summer. That's one of the favorite things, frozen bananas. And even frozen grapes. We've frozen grapes. We've frozen slices of orange. Anyway, frozen fruit is just amazing. The kids just love it. Just love it. I was thinking about babies earlier, because we have a tiny one that we're, you know, it's hard to travel. And I think that's where some of the junk food comes in, where, you know, we've seen babies with M&Ms being fed to them, you know, things like that. And I'm amazed at how much our kids love raisins or craisins.
I mean, like, they will eat them like candy. Just love them. And even a banana is a good travel baby food. And you guys have said this before, but you can just break it off with your finger and put it in your baby's mouth. And it's a little travel package right there with all your baby food. And anyway, it's just, those are some of our favorite things. You just grab your banana and you're ready to feed your baby for 3 hours. And anyway.
Can I get on a little soapbox here? Becca, I love that. When I went back to school as a teacher, I was completely appalled at the things my kids brought to school with them. And I teach third grade, and it was crazy. I have learned a few years later that it would, the first day of school, these cute kids come in the door and they smile at me, and if they have silver teeth, I can be pretty sure I have a behavior problem on my hands. They have been fed junk food, and it's just so sad to see 8-year-olds with a can of Mountain Dew for their mid-morning snack, or a whole bag, not a snack size bag, of Takis. All the color that's in them, or a bag of Sour Patch Kids. I mean, it's just incredible what they will walk through the door and have in their hands. And I can only think that their parents must be aware. I'm not sure if the parents don't care or don't understand the effect that it's having on their children, or it's been kind of mind-blowing to me that kids live on the junk food that they do, and I watch it come in the door every day, and it's actually really sad. It got to a point where I thought I wish I could tell parents that their children could do so much better at school if they were just fed a real breakfast and healthy food and coming with real healthy snacks and a healthy lunch even. But I can't do that as a teacher, amazingly, even though it would have such great educational benefits. But I thought last year I can at least teach the kids. So last fall, I started in the first week of school. I thought we'll review the food groups and we'll just talk about the vitamins and minerals and how they help your body. My third graders could not categorize their food into the four food groups. They had no idea what was dairy. They did not know what a vegetable was. They did not know that their Takis were not a vegetable. I mean, they had never been taught. And I was so discouraging, but then I realized, it's not in our curriculum to teach health to elementary school kids. I don't even know if their parents are really aware of what's healthy and what's not. We read packages. So we spent the first 6 weeks of school talking about what food groups were, what vitamins do to us. And we learned how to read labels. We learned on a Fruit Loops box, you know, what the sugar content was and how the ingredients go from most to least. And it was a revelation to the kids, but it also was a revelation to me about where our society is educationally about our health. And I feel like we have the whole world of knowledge in front of us, and we may not all really know what is healthy. Anyway, I guess my point is, my soapbox is we have to save our children. Like, they are being lost because of poor eating choices. And I think parents don't understand how lost they are becoming because they've been handed a bag of chips or Cheetos or cold cereal for breakfast that's just loaded with sugar. It is so obvious at school the damage that it's doing to these kids. So there's my soapbox. Now we can move on. Please eat healthy.
So can I ask a question then?
Yes.
How do you handle all of the junk food that the kids are getting in society and bringing home? Because my kids are homeschooled, but when they were in school, I mean, teachers were just giving them candy just to come to school and to sit in their desk. And there was so much candy, and it was always a party, and there was always a birthday. And so my kids were constantly bringing junk food home. And at church, I mean, you can't have a primary class without them
getting candy. And so I just feel like activity days and mutual, like it's just candy and treats everywhere. And then not to mention like parades through the summer, we can't go to a parade anymore because the kids just get bags of candy or trick-or-treating or Valentine's Day. It's just everywhere. And I feel like I don't know how to manage all of the candy that comes into the home, even if I'm not even the one providing it. There's just, we have bags of candy in the pantry all the time that the kids always want to eat. And I don't know how to manage it all. So I'm just wondering what you guys do in your home.
I think that's such a valid question, Heidi. I think back on our childhood, I rarely remember getting a treat out in public. And Halloween, you know, we got a few treats, but our society has really tipped toward the giving sugar for everything. And sometimes if your kids say no, or you say no, people get upset at you, like you're not letting your kids have it. So I don't have the answers. I'm just saying that's a really valid question. How do you handle all the treats that come all the time? I will say that since living overseas, I feel like we don't face that as much. I don't know if that's a huge culture thing in the States or in Utah or in Idaho. I don't know. But here, I don't see constant. I do see some, but I don't see constant treats at church and at mutual and activity days, like constant all the time junk food. Sometimes, but not as much as I did before we came here.
I also think sometimes it has to start at the top. We go to a charter school, and luckily, they don't let us bring in any treats for birthdays. So they celebrate the child that day, but they don't let any treats come in. And they also don't give the kids any treats. It's just part of the school policy, and it's been such a blessing. Because before, we did have a lot of treats coming home. We do still have treats in church, in primary classes, but that's just once a week, so I haven't made a big deal about it. But I do agree, maybe it would be worth talking to the primary president or the mutual leaders and just say, I don't want my kids to be home, coming home with treats every single activity, because I think it's worth addressing.
In my school classroom, the kids do sometimes bring in treats for their birthdays, but I've noticed I have two or three students in my classroom that will always turn it down and say, no, thank you. I don't want the sugar. And I've wondered, what is it about that child's home that's kind of helped that child to self-govern and turn down the treats? So I'm not sure exactly what the answer is. I don't know that my own kids turn down treats when they get them. But I do remember when we were growing up, a few times as a family, we had family night lessons about health, and then we had challenges that we did together as a family. One in particular I remember was that we could go for a whole month and only eat one treat per day. And so, you know, at school, if someone handed you a cookie and you ate it, that was your treat for the day. And then at night, we'd talk about it as a family. Okay, who did it today? Who turned down the treats except for the one or something like that? But I think just being conscious about it and discussing it as a family was a good step, a step in the right direction to have a challenge or something we were trying to do together to combat all of the sugar and junk food.
I was just thinking, I have to say, in our marriage, I'm the more treatsy one, and Kevin is very healthy, and example goes a long way. We have kids that are, yeah, I'm not going to have sugar. I'm not going to eat those treats because, you know, daddy doesn't, you know, he's all about, you know, not having sugar and candy. And so anyway, just the example, I know there's a lot of solutions that we probably need, but example really goes a long way, and your kids can see how you live and the reasons why you make the choices you make with what you eat and what you don't eat. Anyway, that you can really teach your kids a lot through that.
I love that, Becca. I think sometimes we underestimate the power of example. And I also loved what Ray did with her third graders by bringing in the container and talking about the ingredients and what's actually in the food that they're putting in their bodies. Just information can help inspire people to eat more healthy.
I had one other question. Oh, sorry, Ray. Back to the mealtime. I know we probably all make our kids eat what's served. I find myself being a stickler on some things, like, you know, you're going to eat some of everything on the table. But then other times I find myself catering to my kids, like, oh, you don't want milk in your oatmeal. Oh, okay, well, we won't put milk in your oatmeal. Oh, you don't like bananas. Okay, you don't have to eat bananas. I'm just wondering what rules you guys have, how you make your kids eat, and if there are times when you don't make them eat everything, like, oh, you don't want onions on your hamburger? Okay, we won't put onions on your hamburger. When you cater versus when you make them eat something they don't want to eat. I'm just curious how you run your tables like that.
None of us have any answers. I would say for me, it depends on the situation, a lot like you. Sometimes I do say, I know what their likes are. And sometimes I think they're eating a healthy meal. I'm not going to push it for them to eat this certain thing, like the milk in their oatmeal. Other times, I'm probably just more feisty. And I think you need to learn to eat what's served. So I don't know. That's probably the wrong thing to say, because it's better to be consistent as a parent. But depends on the timing, if we have to get out the door, if I, anyways, just all over the place. But I do think it's worth having them eat everything on their plate sometimes. So I feel like it's not a bad thing to do that. And we do have one thing that we do is if they haven't eaten their whole meal and they complain that they're too full, or you can just tell it's going to take an hour and it's bedtime, then I just save it for them. I'll stick it in the fridge and pull it out the next morning for their breakfast. Again, I'm not always consistent, but I do think it's okay to say, you know what, this is what we're eating. We're going to eat it tonight. It's good, healthy food, and you need to learn to eat it.
I do think it's kind of a paradox that generally we ask our children to eat what they're served. But I have heard people say if you do that, then they're going to be overweight because that's forcing them to eat when they're not hungry. But I personally don't think that's the case. I think asking a child to eat what they're served during mealtime is one thing. And then, you know, not serving snacks and treats between meals is going to ensure that they don't grow up overweight or out of control with their eating. So I just have to put that in there. I highly believe in asking young children to eat what they're served, especially the healthy things. They can learn their taste buds. They can learn that generally food is good and they should be grateful for it.
And then going along with that, you can make sure that you're not serving them huge heaping mounds, right? Start with a little bit. If it's a two-year-old, they don't need as much as you're going to serve on your plate. Although I will say that some of our two-year-olds eat more than adults if they're growing, right? They go through growth spurts. But you can start with little amounts on their plate. One of the other things that I'll get on my soapbox about is that I think it's important for kids to not leave food on their plate and waste food. That bothers me. So even when my kids bring friends home from school and they're there for the mealtime or there for the treat after the snack after school, then I will just let them know ahead of time. In our family, you don't have to take it after school snack, but if you do take it, you have to eat it because we don't waste food in our home. I think it's okay to teach kids to not waste food. That's another thing that our society is tending towards. You eat part of it and then you just toss the rest in the garbage. We're so entitled, and there are people across the world that are starving. So we start with small servings. We ask them to eat everything on their plate.
And I remember something Mama would always say. She'd always say, this is healthy. You can eat as much of it as you want. You know, she didn't, anyway, thinking about, you know, finishing, expecting our kids to finish their meal and, you know, the fear that they're going to be overweight. If it's healthy, they're not going to be overweight. And they can eat however much they want. And I will say our kids really eat a lot, and they've never been overweight. They always are happy to fill their plates and then we expect them to finish all of it so that they can so we don't waste our food. I love that meme. I think that's a really, really important thing to learn as kids.
I agree with the eat everything on your plate, and I think especially we'll serve them when they're younger, and I like, Mame, that you start very, very small, something that you know they're going to eat all of, like a teaspoon of everything. And then when they do, they can have as much as they want. I will tell them that there's plenty of this, but we're going to start here with this little portion. Once you've cleaned your plate, then you can have seconds of anything you'd like. Once they get old enough to serve themselves, then we talk about that too. If you're serving yourself, you're eating everything on your plate for sure, because you have chosen that. And I think it is teaching them also a skill that they need to start with a little. They don't need to overdo it, but sometimes our eyes get a little too big, so we got to be careful. Two servings is better than not being able to finish one.
Just really quick, I do remember Mama never asking us to finish our desserts. So if we had cake or ice cream and we got full, then she never required us to finish that. So unhealthy foods, then that's okay. But healthy foods, finish.
I think as a parent, eating habits, mealtime, snacks, those are all physical habits that really give us an opportunity to teach children skills that can benefit them spiritually as well. And because we eat every day in our lives, and hopefully as a family, 3 meals a day, then it really gives us a lot of opportunities to teach children things and lessons that can span a lot of different areas of life. So I really love talking about this topic, but I just remembered one other story that I wanted to share. Again, we had a culture in our home of eating healthy habits, of eating healthy snacks and healthy foods. But also, I remember some family councils growing up where we set specific family goals. And I remember one time our goal was that for that entire month, we were not going to eat chocolate. And I don't know why that was the goal, but it just seemed like a good goal. And we were all united. Let's try and not eat chocolate for the month. And it was exciting and fun to do it as a family and share our ups and downs through the month. But it was towards the end of the month, and I remember we went to visit our friends that lived a couple of hours away. So we drove to their house, we got out of the car, we went in, and they were so happy to see us. And they said, "We just made this homemade ice cream. We're so happy you're here." And they pulled out these bowls of brown ice cream, and our hearts just sunk. I don't know how old I was at the time, maybe 11 or 12, but I looked over at Daddy and I was like, he's going to have to tell them we're not eating chocolate this month and we're almost finished, like we're just days away. And I just thought, how's he going to do this with grace? And he said, "Oh, that looks so yummy. Thanks for making that. What flavor is it?" And the mother said, "Oh, this is root beer ice cream." And I just remember this huge collective sigh went through all of us like, "Oh, root beer ice cream, we can eat that." And we all just started laughing. And then we said, "Oh, we're so glad it's root beer. By the way, we're not eating chocolates this month." But it was just kind of a little tender mercy, I remember, that happened. That's a memory I'll always remember of when we were trying to not eat chocolate. And it's like the Lord blessed us and they served root beer ice cream. Who knew? Brown ice cream could also be root beer ice cream. It worked out so well.
Man, I love it. What a relief.
What a relief.
That's such a fun story. I think I remember that now that you bring it up. And I just have to bear my testimony that when we try to do things, when we try to move in a good direction, the Lord blesses us. That said, and I don't mean to contradict you, I don't think I am. We have served missionaries at our house who will choose not to eat something, not because they are allergic, but because they have personal tastes. And sometimes that doesn't bother me, but there are times when they won't like something, and I feel like there's also a point to being courteous. There are things you can choose to eat that you might not rather eat because somebody has sacrificed for you to make that on your plate. And we also teach that to our children. You might not like what we're having for dinner tonight, but it's healthy and it's good, and we're going to eat it because somebody spent time making that for us. So So I don't know that that's probably a different principle, but I do think that there's a time when we eat what we're served, even if we don't love it.
And
it's still not going to kill us.
It's one of those spiritual lessons that comes out of eating, right? Mame talked about respect, courtesy. These are all things that can be taught simply with good eating habits.
And another principle would be moderation. You don't want your kids to go overboard the other way and not ever eat a speck of sugar and be discourteous, right? As Larae brought up, you want to teach them moderation in all things. Read the room. Listen to the spirit. Be wise in what you choose to do. And that's what we want our kids to go out in the world with. These are all such amazing ideas. Thank you so much for sharing, everyone. Any last thoughts that we didn't get to that we want to quick say?
I have one that I have watched with my kids, with my daughters. When I was a very young mother, I read something in a parenting book that changed my life, and it was that toddlers sometimes don't eat for 2 days, and it's okay, and they won't starve, and then the next day they'll eat. And it was so good for me to have read that, because it's so true. Sometimes they don't eat for a long time, and you get a little panicked as a mother because they're not eating. And I watch so many moms and so many people of toddlers trying to make kids eat. Don't you see this all the time? Please eat your peas, Johnny. Just eat your peas and then you can have your dessert. And then pretty soon they backtrack it. Just try 2 bites or just try 1 pea. Like they're just desperate for this kid to eat food. And it becomes a power struggle. I mean, the child is getting attention for not eating. And that's exactly what they want, is attention. And I think parents, it's an unwitting power struggle and parents don't realize it's happening. My personal experience has been that toddlers don't starve themselves and that parents could make that a non-issue. So I feel like a lot of our kids get stuck on junk food because we get into this panic that they're going to starve. And so we hand them food that they will eat until they're hooked on fruit snacks and cheese sticks and cheese crackers and all the stuff that they will eat. And then I hear parents all the time, my kid's so picky. My kid hates vegetables. My kid won't eat salad. And I just think kids in Africa aren't starving because they don't get fruit snacks every day. There's a reason, and it is often in a parent that did not intend to do something. And so I guess my point is kids aren't going to starve. You can feed them healthy and you don't have to force feed. They'll feed themselves when they're ready. And healthy is good and they'll eat it.
Love it, Ray. That just reminds me that when Joseph, who's now on his mission in South Korea, was little, a toddler, he would fill up in the morning. He would eat 3 huge bowls of oatmeal every morning, and then he would hardly touch his lunch and dinner. So we had to serve him really, really small for lunch and dinner. But I remember it worrying me for a little bit, but then I realized that's okay. He's getting his healthy oatmeal every morning and he's getting lots of it. And that's what he lived on for quite a while. But then, yeah, but then they grow out of it.
They do. But we're trying not to let them grow out of it spoiled and picky. We want them to grow out of it appreciative and healthy.
And when you turn it into a power struggle, it becomes a problem. That's a good thought. That's really good. One just other quick thought, just thinking about toddlers. We have an 18-month-old that she's been on solids for a while, but it's a process. And I was thinking, when they have something they don't like, you know, like vegetables or whatever, we'll mix a little bit of it in with the oatmeal that she will eat or the rice that she will eat or, you know, whatever. So, anyway, that's something that we feel works, is if there's something they are not so excited about, if you mix a little bit of it in with something they do like, then they start getting a taste for it and they start, you know, being okay with it. Anyway, so just another little tip with toddlers.
And piggybacking off of that, it depends on the child, and you have to be able to read the child. So some of our children, we would take like 2 or 3 hours to eat a meal, and that was the power struggle. So in that case, I would say, okay, we're serving breakfast for 20 minutes. When breakfast is over, it's time to get down from the table. If they hadn't finished, it would just be cleared away, and they'd be hungry till lunch. Whereas other children, the power struggle is the food on their plate. So I would just serve it up to them the next meal. Does that make sense? So it just depends on the child and what they're struggling with. And you always want to exit the power struggle. Just pull that right off the table, and then you can save face, let them save face and not have the power struggle involved. Well, thanks everyone for your thoughts. I think we've covered a lot of good ground. Thank you all. It was wonderful.
It's been a fun discussion.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks, man. What a fun topic. It's so relevant. Makes me want to go eat a carrot right now. I wish we had had Katie here. I know that she could have given a lot of hints about this topic. So hopefully we can get some more hints from her another time.
And our
Maybe
next,
she can put comments.
Yeah. And our next two topics for the next 2 weeks following this will also be about various aspects of eating and mealtime, too. So hopefully Katie can join us then.
Okay. Love you all. We solved some of the world's problems. Happy eating, everyone.
Happy eating.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you too. Bye.
Thanks for tuning into Sister Share. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you again next week.